This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. On today's show, Adam Bacallo from PI Financial says canola and wheat futures did well for this week. Meanwhile, MPs in Ottawa exchanged verbal jabs before voting on a non-confidence motion over the carbon tax. And the farm weather with Phil Spivak is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. We'll have the full forecast details. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. Up first, after the break, is my chat with Adam Bacallo on how the canola and wheat futures did and what he's looking out for next week.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. And Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. The May canola contract continued its upward trajectory, and according to a commodity advisor, it hit a high this week. Adam Bacallo with PI Financial says the price of canola reached $652.10 a ton. It was also up $9 a ton on the week to around the $639 range.
So again, we were a little bit higher than that kind of just a couple days ago, but we are seeing still, you know, a positive trend right now. It seems that funds are covering a little bit of their short positions right now, maybe again not wanting to hold kind of the record amount that they have going into the springtime here. I would say my kind of target area was that 650 area, which we did kind of hit there briefly on the kind of the lower end now, just to make sure that maybe canola does stay in the upward trend. I'd want to see about 630 hold, which we're not too far away from right now. If we kind of break that 630, 620, and you know, maybe even that 610 to 600 is potential kind of again right now. But the other kind of factor I am watching is the soybean market right now. The bear camp does look to have kind of the edge kind of with this week finishing. There has been some beneficial rains moving across Iowa kind of this week, and more is expected kind of next week. So kind of seeing that, again, good precipitation for the bean market, and that could maybe add a little bit of downward pressure on canola at some point if the palm and soybean oil kind of go lower as well too.
Meanwhile, May Minneapolis wheat was up 5 cents on the week to around $6.53 a bushel.
Again, we are trading kind of near the lower end of the range. And if we do break around that 640, which we're only about 12 cents away from that, we would be making kind of some new lows kind of on the contract. It does really seem that there's not a lot of positive news kind of when it comes to wheat fundamentally right now. There has been kind of some Russian strikes on Ukraine's largest dam when talking about the war there. But really, right now, it doesn't seem like there's a whole bunch of positive news for the wheat market. You know, there has been, again, pretty sideways kind of trading right now. The increased, you know, aggression in Ukraine-Russia war could be just seen as, depending on what happens with ships and things like that, that could be influence, obviously. Nobody knows what will happen kind of tomorrow with that. But right now, it doesn't seem like that's affecting the market.
The Canadian dollar has hovered around 73 to 74 cents U.S., but the American dollar continues to go up.
The U.S. Federal Reserve this week decided to keep rates the same. They're now forecasting 3 rate cuts this year instead of the 6. So that was something that kind of the markets have been kind of digesting as well too. But overall, the U.S. dollar has been trending up a little bit. So maybe that's why we're seeing grains maybe down a little bit here on the Friday.
Bacallo felt Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's crop price projection for March didn't affect the markets as much as he expected.
Not as much as I thought, actually, kind of reading through the numbers. I would say right now, kind of more the weather is kind of a bit of a focus. I didn't see much of kind of an impact from that report this week.
And here's his outlook for next week.
You know what, the other thing I'm watching is crude oil. Crude oil is kind of above that $80 a barrel kind of level. It's kind of coming off from that. So that just might be one factor for the Canadian kind of U.S. dollar as well.
Adam Bacallo is a future commodity advisor with PI Financial based in Winnipeg. Coming up next on the show, we'll have some news from Ottawa. There was a non-confidence vote over the carbon tax. There was some verbal jabs exchanged between the opposition Tories and the Liberal government. We'll hear a little more on those exchanges right after the break. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the program. Despite numerous calls for an election over the carbon tax, the federal Tories did not succeed in that venture yesterday. Tory MPs were the only ones who voted in favor of it, so it won't be happening. But a lot of jabs were thrown in the House of Commons beforehand, including the ones between Lakeland Tory MP Shannon Stubbs and Employment Minister Randy Boissonneau of Edmonton.
The Liberal schemes and spin jobs can't cover up the cruel fact that the cost of everything is up and so are emissions, because the carbon tax is a cash grab and not an environmental plan. Albertans will pay almost $1,000 more this year than they get back in fake rebates. So today, Conservatives will vote non-confidence in the costly coalition to axe the tax. But will this Prime Minister finally listen to the majority of Canadians and premiers, spike the hike today, or call carbon tax elections?
Albertans are $700 better off thanks to a very real Canada carbon rebate. Mr. Speaker, in my riding of Edmonton Centre, well over 69% of residents want this government to fight climate change. We couldn't breathe the smoke in the air on September long weekend or May long weekend. These guys want to let the planet burn. We're going to defend the planet, put more money in the pockets of Albertans. They can do what they want to do. We're going to defend Canadians and make sure there's a planet for our kids and our grandkids.
Tory ag critic John Barlow went up against Ag Minister Lawrence McAuley over the matter.
After 8 years, Canadian farmers are at their wits' end, and this Prime Minister's Liberal NDP carbon tax coalition aren't worth the cost. Mm-hmm. Instead of preparing for a new growing season, farmers are bracing themselves for another carbon tax increase on April 1st. The Agriculture Carbon Alliance surveyed 50 farms and found out they are paying more than $320,000 a month in carbon taxes. That's just 50 farms. There are almost 200,000 farms in Canada. And the punishment is going to get that much worse when the Prime Minister increases his carbon tax 23% on April 1st. Will the Prime Minister give farmers a voice and allow a carbon tax election?
The Honourable Minister for Agriculture and Agri-Food.
Mr. Speaker, I appreciate my honourable colleague's question. I believe he and I both canvassed the last election indicating we were going to put a price on pollution. We did put a price on pollution. We also put in place a Canada carbon rebate, which my honourable colleague is well aware, 8 out of 10 people in the country receive more than they pay. And in fact, in Alberta, they received an average family received $450 quarterly. The question is, why does my honourable colleague and the Conservative Party of Canada want to take $450 every quarterly out of the people's pockets?
The honourable member from Foothills.
Well, I think the minister should talk to his own constituents in Prince Edward Island, who are paying $1,600 a year in carbon taxes and getting about $1,000 back in the rebate, meaning it is costing islanders $600 a year in the carbon tax. And that has consequences. Higher carbon taxes are driving Canadians to food banks in unprecedented numbers. As a matter of fact, in his province, Corner Food Bank is struggling just to keep its doors open for 5,500 families it's serving. Well, the minister support a carbon tax election and give his islanders a voice.
My constituents in Prince Edward Island are fully aware that I told them that we would put a price on pollution. And we also indicated we'd put the Canada carbon rebate in place. In fact, my constituents receive $220 every quarterly, and that money is in their pocket. What I cannot understand is why my honourable colleague wants to take that money out of their pocket. Farmers understand there's a problem with the environment. They also understand we have a program in place to address the environment. We have and will continue to do that, Mr. Speaker.
The carbon tax is due to rise by 23% on April 1st. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM. Up next is Ag Review with Doug Falconer, as he'll take us through the latest agriculture news headlines, followed by Farm Precision Weather with Phil Spivak. He'll have the forecast for today and into this weekend. Keep it tuned here to CKRM. Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and Migraine Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to migraineexchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
There's a good chance Western Canadian farmers and ranchers will see rain in April and May to get crops started and grass growing. Matt Makins with Makins Weather, based in Colorado, says it's only a forecast, but the El Nino weather pattern is fizzling out and the La Nina weather pattern is phasing in. He says a lot depends on how quickly that transition occurs, but indications are that the transition is moving quickly, which means the La Nina effect will bring moisture and cooler temperatures earlier. That means the Canadian prairies will likely see rain in April and May, and if the transition slows, it could delay that moisture until June and July. Makin says things are shaping up for prairie moisture early in the spring and summer, turning drier toward August and September. Feed barley bids in Western Canada continue to find some support as the calendar turns to spring, with seasonal road restrictions lending some nearby support to prices. Spring road restrictions set axle weight limits for vehicles moving on certain roads to reduce the damage heavier loads can cause during the spring thaw period. Grain, livestock, and equipment movement can all be affected by the spring road bans, as drivers may need to find alternate routes or haul smaller loads. Barley is currently landing in Lethbridge, Alberta, at about $270 to $280 Canadian per metric ton, an improvement of about $10 per ton over the past few weeks. However, with plenty of U.S. corn still making its way into cattle rations, barley supplies remain large in Western Canada, and there may be limited room to the upside. A recent federal funding cut shouldn't affect local 4-H clubs, at least for now. 4-H Canada says its most recent round of funding from Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada totals $1.7 million over 3 years. In the past, it has received about $1 million per year. Projected related funding, which rose significantly during the COVID-19 pandemic, has also returned to pre-pandemic levels. However, it will not have an immediate impact on 4-H Canada programming, much of which was already well into planning when they learned of the funding changes. National programming is also a small portion of overall club activity across Canada. Traditionally, 4-H Canada has passed funds from AAFC to provincial organizations. The European Commission wants to prevent Russia from using farm products as a tool to wreak havoc on the EU market and is moving to impose tariffs on grain imports from Russia and Belarus. The tariffs are also aimed at denying Russia revenue because they will effectively suppress exports to the EU. Imports of cereals, oilseeds, and derived products from Russia and its Belarus ally are just about 1% of the overall size of the EU market, with domestic suppliers providing the bulk. But with angry farmers already worried by the increase of cheap Ukrainian imports, the EU fears Russia will be encouraged to take advantage of the tense situation to further destabilize the 27-nation bloc. EU imports of cereals, oilseeds, and derived products from Russia, including wheat, maize, and sunflower meal, were 4.2 million metric tons in 2023, worth 1.3 billion euros. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Falconer.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, just before we kind of got started recording here, you kind of categorized the forecast as stale, and sometimes that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, when you're in the dry part of it, when you're in a part that's not too cold, it certainly can be a good thing. We've got a stretch of quiet weather holding on right into most of next week, it looks like, with temperatures not really changing more than a degree or two each day. So we say what you see is what you get. We mean that really for the next week or so. We'll break it down, though, just because we have a couple of seconds here. Minus four this afternoon. The wind is mostly light, occasionally getting into the higher end of 10 to 20, but most of the time on the low end of that, around 10. Clear sky, light wind tonight down to minus 14 and minus one tomorrow under a sunny sky. Minus three on Sunday. The wind does pick up just a bit, so I guess there is something of a change, but that's about as exciting as it gets. The wind 10 to 20 on Sunday. Mostly sunny, minus 3 on Monday, backing down just a skosh on Tuesday to minus 5, and then likely heading back up. But again, not more than a degree or two difference Wednesday into Thursday, too.
Thank you very much, Phil. The normal highs for this time of year, 3 degrees. The lows, minus 9. The sun rose in Regina at 6:55 this morning, and the sun will set at 7:16 tonight. Taking a look around the province, in Assiniboia, Estevan, Swift Current, and Weyburn, minus 6, Mooseman, minus 8, Saskatoon, minus 10, Yorkton and Melville, minus 11. The least cold spot in the province is in Maple Creek at minus 4.9, and the cold spot in Southend at minus 18.9. In Regina, it's a mainly sunny sky. Northwest wind at 22 kilometers an hour, humidity 29%, temperature minus 5 or 23 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure is at 103.3 and falling. In Moose Jaw, also mainly sunny, northwest wind at 8 kilometers an hour, temperature minus 5 as well. Again in Regina, mainly sunny, northwest wind at 22 kilometers an hour, and the temperature minus 5 degrees. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to SaskAg Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of SaskAg Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com and Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. This week's Ministry of Agriculture report comes from Ricky Wilson, a livestock and feed extension specialist, shares tips on feeding cattle efficiently.
When economies of scale don't make sense for a producer to purchase a mixed wagon to feed a total mixed ration to their herd, the age-old method of bales and pails can still get the job done. While this may reduce the accuracy at which you're able to feed your livestock, there's a few tips and tricks to keep in mind to help you maximize efficiency. Always remember, you can't manage what you don't measure. Keep track of feed inventory and bale weights and test the feeds you plan to use. This information helps you track whether more feed needs to be purchased ahead of time and if nutritional requirements are being met. It may even help you take advantage of using cheaper, more poor quality feeds early on in gestation and save your better feeds for later. Remember to also account for waste. Forage waste is assumed to be anywhere from 10 to 30% depending on the feed out method you're using. Number two, reduce competition at the trough and feeder. If you're feeding grain once or twice a day, a mature cow is going to need between 24 to 30 inches of space. If you're feeding grain to mature cows, they should be supplied at least 3 pounds per feeding to reduce competition. And remember, don't exceed 8 pounds per feeding to avoid that risk of acidosis. Reducing competition might also come down to separating those young, smaller cows from the older, mature ones. Rotate what you feed. In an instance where you have poor quality slough hay and a good quality green feed, consider alternating the days that you're feeding them. This will ensure that the older boss cows don't prevent younger animals from getting at the better quality stuff. Number four, mix your minerals. It's best if you can mix mineral right into that grain being supplied, but in cases where this isn't possible, consider mixing mineral in with salt to encourage intake. A mature cow will eat around an ounce of salt every day. Always follow mixing directions found on that mineral packaging. For more information on winter feeding strategies, forage testing, and livestock nutrition, please contact the Agriculture Knowledge Center at 1-866-457-2377.
That's Ricky Wilson, a livestock and feed extension specialist. We'll take another break here, but Sask Ag Today will return in a few moments.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Researchers at the University of Alberta have found an effective way to decontaminate grain that's been tainted by mold. And they say the added bonus is that it can also boost seed germination. This is researcher Asan Faisalahi, who says they've been treating wheat and barley with atmospheric cold plasma.
Cold plasma is the fourth state of matter. So we usually have solid, liquid, and gas, right? But if we give energy to solid, it will be changed to liquid. If we give energy to liquid, it will be changed to gas. And if we give enough energy to gas, it will be changed to the fourth state, which is plasma. So it majorly consists of ionized gas and electrons and UV light.
Does it feel like something? Does it look like something?
It's like purple color, it's gaseous state, so we can't see it, but it's normally in the universe, it's in stars, it's in sun, so it's everywhere. And usually it's being produced when we have a high electromagnetic field. We produce it in our lab using high voltage electricity between the electrodes, and we produce this using electricity, and we use it for treating grains.
In this case, for example, like you said, it is found naturally all around us, but you would have to manufacture it, essentially, to utilize it.
Yeah, we need to artificially generate it in the lab, but we haven't produced it in a large scale. It's just a lab scale that we've done these experiments yet. And for this, we used different devices. It can be produced using different devices, and we tried it. We tried it in different ways to treat grains. One way was to use air. We used air, we treated it, we produced plasma, and then we treated the grains under plasma. And the second method was using water. So as you know, in the malting industry, we have a steeping process. We use water and we steep the barley grains. And what we did, we treated that water with cold plasma. So we had water treated with plasma, and we used that water for steeping of barley, which helped us for improving the germination of the barley and also reducing the toxins on it, especially two of the major mycotoxins in Alberta, which are deoxynivalenol and zearalenone.
That's University of Alberta researcher Asan Faisalahi talking about using atmospheric cold plasma to decontaminate grain that's been tainted by mold. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today is the market update. We'll see how the grain prices at Viterra are doing for today, as well as the livestock report and the latest livestock quotes. Keep it tuned to 620 CKRM. Sask Ag Today will return right after this break.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Grain prices at Viterra were down in early trading today. Canola is down $3.60 to $600.72 a metric ton. Number one red spring wheat is down $1.31. I was about to say $131, but that would be quite a bit. But again, down $1.31 to $298.20. And the rest were unchanged. Durum $387.37. Feed barley $225.58. Chickpeas $992.08. Flax $606.04. Lentils $721.50. Oats $276.32. Yellow peas $437.98. And feed wheat $212.38. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is down 3.5 cents to $6.53 a bushel. Coming up next is the Livestock Report.
The SaskAg Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
Good afternoon. This is Travis Platt with Heartland Livestock Moose Jaw. This past Thursday, we had a regular cow in bull sale with close to 300 head showing up, and here's how it went. Them good yielding cows were $1.65 to $1.75, with sales up to $1.85. Them medium cows were $1.35 to $1.65. And them counter cows were $1.10 to $1.35. Them heiferettes were $2.10 to $2.35 with sales up to $2.45. And them bulls were $1.56 to $1.80 with sales up to $1.95. Next week, we have our all-breed calf and yearling pre-sort, as well as Thursday, we have our bred cow and heifer sale. Again, there are some heifers in there that you don't want to miss out on. And them cows are bred to some very good bulls as well. If you have any marketing needs or are looking to book in, don't be afraid to give us a call at 692-2385. This is Travis Platt, reporting from Heartland Livestock Moose Jaw. Good day and good selling.
And here are the latest pork prices.
This is Bill Alford with the Hams Market Commentary for Friday, March 22nd. Hams sold 7,400 hogs Thursday, selling a range of $202 to $215 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 6,600 head, selling a range of $202 to $215 per CKG. 100 index hog prices for the week ending Saturday, March 23rd are Ole West 2020, 199.90, Ole West 2021, 213.40, Maple Leaf Sig 4, 201.48, Hams Cash, 199.48, Thunder Creek Brick Co., 198.14, High Life Cash, $214.41 per CKG. Hams cash hog price today is mixed and four contract prices open higher this morning. On Thursday, Canadian dollar is up 19 basis points with the daily exchange rate at 1.3525. Canadian dollar is currently trading at 73.59 cents US. All Western Canadian forward contract prices have improved by about a dollar Canadian per CKG this morning as lean hog futures recover somewhat from the previous 3 days of pressure that pushed prices lower this week. The high price in the futures was reached on Monday, but subsequent sessions this week have been under pressure on suspected profit-taking by managed money traders. We will be able to confirm this suspicion when the commitment of traders report is published later this afternoon. Pre-hogs and pigs report positioning could also be behind the recent moves, but analyst estimates are not expected to be published until next week. Most industry watchers are expecting a contraction in herd numbers, but the degree to which very much remains to be seen. Supplies are expected to tighten in the coming weeks and months, so generally the outlook is supportive, and any pressure that develops from a bearish report could be recovered if the supply situation warrants it. Simply put, we are not expecting acute pressure if a bearish report is published.
Coming up next is the resource report, but first we'll check in with Cody Glidden as he's over at the Assiniboia Spring Fever Lotto.
It's the SaskAg Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
French President Emmanuel Macron says he regrets the Senate's vote to reject legislation to ratify a trade deal between the European Union and Canada. The so-called CETA deal has been criticized by farmers as bringing unfair competition from abroad. It provisionally went into effect in September 2017 after all EU governments agreed to it, but its full implementation requires approval by each national parliament. Thursday's vote in the French Senate does not necessarily mean that the country ultimately will reject ratification. Macron said the text is to be sent back to France's lower house of parliament for further discussion. Major farmers' unions and food producer organizations in France say the CETA agreement would in the long term hurt the country's food industry. On the markets, the TSX is down 87 points at 21,999. The Dow is down 190 points to 39,591. Oil is down 48 cents at $80.59 per barrel. And the Canadian dollar is at 73.50 cents US. And that's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. You can find the podcast at saskagtoday.com and at 620ckrm.com. And that's going to do it for Friday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day and a nice weekend.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.